Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
You know, control, can be talked about. But the bottom line is, man, we're just not performing well enough. And so I'm less concerned about control of the division and more concerned about the quality of our performance at this juncture.
The fate of the division is now out of the Steelers' hands. We'll need help from the Baltimore Ravens and what will be an AFC North day for the ages, I guess. Week 18 on Saturday with Cleveland and Baltimore playing at 4:30. Ravens favored by 18 points. And the Steelers will host Cincinnati. Bengals favored by 3. Bengals need some help, need a win, and some help from a few others to be able to get in. That game will be at 8 o'clock at Acrisure Stadium. It is the Pomp and Joe Show. I have moved from behind the glass to the host chair, typically where Joe is. Bob is on his way to the press conference to just be able to get you ready for Mike Tomlin, who, because of the game being on Saturday, will speak to the media today at noon. So Brian Bacco will join us at noon, and Brian will be with us from noon up until 2 o'clock. Austin Bechtold alongside with Sean Meyer. Sean, great to be with you.
Howdy, a nice little surprise today to see you.
It was a surprise. So it basically a spot start, a call from the bullpen. When the bell rings, we answer the bell. And on his way to the press conference and joining us for the first 20 minutes or so of the show is our dear Bob Pompeiani. Hello, Bob.
Austin, I'm glad to see you're flexible. And same for Sean. I mean, this is a fluid situation, as they say in the business.
Yes, ever-changing. We had no idea what was going to happen when we woke up this morning. So have to be adaptable and flexible. But in terms of adaptability and flexibility, Bob, I feel like this schedule that the Steelers have had, other than like the 2020 season, I kind of throw that one out the window for just how much of an anomaly it was. This seems like one of the oddest schedules that the Steelers have ever played in terms of days that they've played. This is now, what, 3 Saturday games? They've played a Wednesday. They hosted a Monday night football game, 2 Sunday night football games at home. Especially the home schedule, it just seems so odd compared to previous years.
It is odd, and quite frankly, this is all, in my opinion anyway, the byproduct of Hard Knocks and trying to make money on that television program, which is controlled by the NFL. These schedules don't make a lot of sense to me, to be honest. You'd never really expect a team that's an 18.5 point favorite to be in a Saturday primetime slot, which is 4:30 in the afternoon, and then a game that could mean nothing in terms of the division. If Baltimore wins, which they should, the division's out the door, and so the Steelers know that they're in and they're not going to win the division. So that may alter what they play. This screams of Hard Knocks.
That is like the first thing that I thought of. And I, a couple of people on Twitter gave me a little bit of pushback for that. But it just, I mean, basically, I think Hard Knocks is going to sell it as storyline, end of the season, AFC North football, all on the same day, standalone primetime games. You made a good point at my tweet saying that they get another day for editing as well. That just screams Hard Knocks to me. But in terms of what it means for the Steelers, we know that Tomlin has not been good on short weeks. Now he's had ample amount of time to prepare for Cincinnati now because of the Wednesday game against the Chiefs. This game, to me, being in prime time at home, I think helps the Steelers a little bit because I know they feed off the crowd at prime time a lot, and historically they've been very good in prime time at home under Mike Tomlin. But I am still concerned with this Cincinnati team that's buzzing with a chance to get into the playoffs, and they're not going to know what their fate is. Like, it's not like they're playing on Sunday at 4:30, which it was speculated that this game was going to be, and Cincinnati would maybe know what happened in the Miami game or what happened in the Denver game. What are your main thoughts about the matchup?
Well, first of all, you're right. They're not going to know anything until Sunday, so they have every reason to play hard and to play to win. And that's not to say the Steelers don't, because the Steelers, if they do, will get a 5 seed and play Houston as opposed to a 6 seed and play the Ravens. And I know people out there are going to throw that, well, look what the Steelers have done against the Ravens. I would not want to play the Ravens right now. As far as this matchup, this is a bad Bengals team, generally, except for one big name, and that's two, actually, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They are doing things that have given the Steelers problems in their defensive secondary. If you look at the last 3 games here, Austin, they've given up 8 touchdown passes, and all the quarterbacks who've gone up against them have been extremely successful. This quarterback, there are people arguing he should be MVP of the league, even though he's on a dog team. And that's you can make an argument based on what he's been able to do. So given the fact that they've had so many defensive lapses of late, I think that Joe Burrow, Chase, Higgins, and everyone they got on that team could be a substantial problem for them heading into this game.
And the Steelers, people were saying, well, I mean, they're pretty much going to potentially lose this game to Cincinnati, go into the playoffs against Baltimore, and maybe lose that one. The whole conversation over the past week, Bob, has been, what constitutes a successful season in your mind for the Steelers? Because for me, expectations changed when they were 10-3 and they were going into this stretch that we knew was going to define the season and not even win one game. If they go to Baltimore and lose, then they lose. They already lost out on the division to Baltimore. This is not a successful season in my mind.
No, not after the way it started. And I realized, I think all of us at the beginning of the year here said that if they take advantage of the first half of their schedule, they should pad themselves enough, you know, leeway so that these crazy games at the end and how close they are together would not be as big of a problem. And that's exactly what's happened. They built a 10-3 record, and they gave themselves some insulation scheduling-wise so that they can, you know, lose a couple of games. I didn't expect them to go 0-3 in this stretch, but they did. And, you know, so now all of a sudden you're back to, okay, what are they now? What 10-3 and a first-round playoff exit will not be a successful season to me. They made that clear from the beginning when Art Rooney came out and said that it's time for some playoff wins, and after 8 years it is. So this season will generally be capsulized with what they do here, and they can turn their game around. I'm not going to rule that out. I mean, they played some pretty good football early when they played the Commanders and even the Ravens early on. They play some pretty good football. They're capable of that, but we haven't seen it of late. So normally, as Mike Tomlin said in your intro there, it's about how you're playing, not so much where you're playing in the playoffs. If you're playing well, you could win in a lot of places. If you're not, you can lose at home.
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Do you think it's a success if they beat Cincinnati and then go to Houston, a team that's reeling right now? They've fallen apart. Baltimore picked them apart 31-2 on Christmas. And beat Houston, but then get blown out by a Kansas City or a Buffalo.
Well, you say blown out. As long as they win a playoff game this year, I think that's a step in the right direction. I still think they have, you know, and I don't expect them to get blown out of these, even if it was. I would expect them to be involved in this game, mostly because I think you have a veteran quarterback now who knows how to deal in these situations, at least. You know, the Baltimore game in Baltimore came down to a pick six. I mean, they were in the game until the very end, and then a bad throw by Russell Wilson to find it. But, you know, if they go in and win a game, I don't care where it is in the first round, and then lose the second round, to me it's a step in the right direction. I don't know what successful is or isn't. To me, They want to win championships. By that standard, it's not successful. But it will be in terms of where they're going the last couple of years, and they're making a little bit of progress. The bigger question will be, how does their quarterback picture play out, Austin, here moving forward? Because you got two guys who are at the end of deals. You have to make decisions. And in lieu of watching Kirk Cousins sign that huge contract and then fall apart, and I'm not saying that could happen to Russell Wilson, but he is 37, going to be 38 mid-season next year. So you got to be leery of that. And I'm still curious about Justin Fields and his youth. So they got a lot of tough decisions at the end of this year.
Yeah, I am too, because the situation that you point out in Atlanta, Michael Penix played pretty well. And I don't expect them to ever go back to Kirk Cousins at this point. No, they didn't win the game. But I don't think that could even be an approach for the Steelers this year. And the top two quarterbacks, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, are going to go in the top five. Other than that, it's a really thin class compared to last year where there were six guys taken.
Right, and they may have to revisit that whole situation of trying to figure out their next quarterback. I don't know how it's going to play out. But you're right, it's not as deep, at least on paper you don't think it is, with this quarterback situation. And yeah, Atlanta would never go back on Penix now. Why would you? He threw a tremendous touchdown pass on a fourth down desperation play to Kyle Pitts that gave them the tie. I was curious. I thought I would have gone for two there. I just still this day when you win the coin toss, you win the game mostly. So I don't know if I were Atlanta at that point. I might have gone for two and tried to win the game with a rollout RPO to Michael Penix.
I still don't like that rule, Bob. I really don't. And I understand that it's different in the playoffs, but even if it's just in the regular season, I think both teams should possess the ball unless there's a defensive score. Because in that case, both teams truly have possessed the ball because the defense took it away and scored, or it was a safety and there was 2 points taken for the other team. It just still bothers me, and I know it's also a race against the clock, but maybe Atlanta would have been able to go down and tie it and then make a two-point conversion with like 2 seconds left and win it. I still have a problem with the rule, at least being in the regular season.
Well, I do too. I don't think that should come down to that, because especially this dynamic kickoff rule now, where you're going to get the ball to 30. I have some pretty good kickers in this league who can kick it from 58 to 62 yards. All you need is like 35 yards. So if you want to, I know it doesn't end on a field goal, but my point is, if you take off enough time and then you kick a field goal even, the other team may get the ball, but with not a lot of time left. I wish both teams can touch it once. I still maintain that. That's the fairest way to do it. They cut the time from 15 to 10 minutes. Safety issues. But I still think it's somewhat flawed system.
Well, unless you're the Falcons kicker who missed a 57-yarder in the game to potentially win it. What a turn of events at the end of that game when they missed a 57-yarder. You go to overtime, and pretty much as soon as Washington gets the football, game over. But that's neither here nor there. When you look ahead to this Bengals game, what do you think's the main key? It's obviously slowing down Joe Burrow and limiting Ja'Marr Chase as much as possible, but the Steelers won a shootout the last time that they played. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that's a similar level of football that we see, but the Steelers' offense over the last couple of weeks, I mean, their line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball has kind of gotten beaten up.
Yes, it has, but I think if you're looking for a feel-good way to get your offense rolling in the right direction heading into the postseason, this is the team you want to play. Again, the defense and their issues, that's a problem against a guy like Burrow. But if you can still do what they did in that first training, which is move the ball up and down, and then win the game or even lose, it doesn't matter. If your offense gets going at the right time of year, that can catapult into something pretty good. And this is a good defense to go against because they've been not good at stopping most every team they play. So I think I would expect a lot of points in this game. I really do. I think you're not going to stop Joe Burrow. You may contain him a couple of times, but they're going to have to score their share of points, and we'll see what this offense can do. Although, lately, as you said, their offensive line is being beat up at the line of scrimmage, so that's something that has to rectify itself this week.
Yeah, I wonder if it's more an interior of the line. Like, Zach Frazier's been very good this year, but him and Mason McCormick have been a little suspect over the last couple of games. Dan Moore was getting just thrown around at times in the last game as well. And, when I think about the line, you do think about the losses that they've had with James Daniels and Troy Faltano on the right side of that line. Do you think that maybe this young line is just exposed is not the right word. That's too strong of a word. That they're starting to get figured out?
I think they're also a little fatigued. This is not college football, although college football is trending toward 15, 16-game seasons for everybody. But, you know, this is not what you're used to playing in over time. I think there absolutely is a fatigue factor. They're certainly not going to admit it. They get out there and play, but it's tough. It's a grueling physical game in those trenches, especially with some of these 360-pound guys you got to see, you know, play in and play out. So I give those guys credit. I think Frazier and McCormick have been really good, knowing that they, you know, especially McCormick, you know, thrown into this situation. That's not easy for anyone to do, let alone a rookie. So, yeah, but hopefully this extra day of rest here this week, or a few days of rest, playing on Wednesday to next Saturday now, will help them kind of rejuvenate themselves getting ready for this game and then the postseason.
I think we all know that Mike Tomlin was going to be asked about it. How do you expect him, if at all, to address what Deshaun Elliott said in the locker room, what Patrick Queen said, with Cam Hayward saying if 10 guys do their job, we're screwed? He's going to be asked about it. Do you expect him just to brush it off? I kind of do.
Yeah, I think he'll say that's internal stuff, whatever he normally goes by on those situations. However, I do think it is. There's a lot, especially Deshaun Elliott. He was extremely frustrated after this game and not shy about speaking out about just about everyone on that defense. You know, he came back. He missed all those games. He came back, and he was the one saying, what's going on here? You're not making your tackles. You can't let guys wide open. Well, somebody's letting them go wide open. So they got to sort that out. That's why I talk about Joe Burrow and his team here. You know, the last thing you want to do is have guys running free. It's hard enough stopping him when you have tight coverage. But when you run them free, man, you're asking for trouble.
The text line is brought to you by Egger Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. A good buddy of mine is a former D1 defensive back, and we were going back and looking at some of the tape over the last couple of days. We were shooting back and forth messages and on the phone talking about the Isaiah Likely touchdown from a couple of weeks ago, the Xavier Worthy score, Travis Kelce just being wide open over the middle of the field. And a lot of the fingers, I think, are being pointed at Cam Sutton, maybe with a little bit of a side eye towards Minka. And part of that might be, well, how many snaps does Cam Sutton really play? 31% in the Baltimore game, 70% in the Kansas City game. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see Cam Sutton start to see his playing time reduced a little bit, because it seemed like when Beanie Bishop was in there, other than the first couple games, when he started to get his feet wet and play well, their secondary was significant, maybe not significantly, but better than it is right now.
Oh, I agree with that. I think Beanie Bishop had an impact. You noticed him a little bit more than you do with Cam Sutton. And now there's some intricate things going on there defensively about who's responsible. It looks one way sometimes when it can be the other. And that's what's led to finger pointing, I'm sure, inside the locker room with some of these guys, where you're not sure whose responsibility it is based on the defensive game plan that's called or the scheme on that particular play. So I'm not sure who's at fault. It seems like I would agree with your assessment there, but I'm sure it's more than just one or two guys. I think a lot of guys are at fault when your defense gives up so many yards so easily and easy touchdown passes to these teams that are really good football teams. And I think that's the one thing that's happened after these three games is the Steelers have revealed that they're not at that level yet, and they got to keep trying to get to that level.
Well, and that's the thing. How much should have expectations changed in people's minds? It seems like it was maybe a little bit of fool's gold because they beat up on some good teams. Washington's good, and they just clinched a playoff spot. That's a good football team that they beat. They did beat Baltimore. They've beat them 8 out of the last 10. But I feel like that the Steelers have kind of gotten exposed for what they are. Like, it's been revealed. I wanted them to win at least one of these three games because isn't it fair to say, though, Bob, that Russell Wilson was brought in here to win those types of games? He beat Buffalo. He beat Kansas City back-to-back games, even though there was a bye in between when he was with Denver, the team that wanted to cast him off. I just thought that he was going to win at least one of them.
Yeah, I mean, the Baltimore one was the one, and he had his fingerprints all over that loss. I thought he played pretty good in that game, except for the fumble at the goal line, which was just he's trying to make a big-time play. I get it. I can absolve him of that, even though you don't want to give the ball away in that situation. But the defense then allowed them to go 96 yards the other way, so there's two to tango there. But in the other two games, I haven't seen, not much at all. But again, it's about what you have also in your pass game. George Pickens had missed a couple of those games. He comes back for one. I had an uneasy feeling when I saw him crash their post-game press or on the field with Mahomes and Kelsey. I'm wondering, what are you doing there?
Yeah, what's up with that? Like,
I've never seen that.
I don't understand that at all.
You don't need to do that. Yeah, well, I don't know what that means.
And it seemed like you have to know in that situation, if you're George Pickens, that they are on the air. Because literally they are being interviewed with the microphone almost like about to be right in their face to answer questions. Like, is that a George Pickens stunt to try to like showcase to the league, hey everybody, like I'm a good teammate, I'm a good person, not what they make me out to be a little bit. That was just so odd to me.
Well, whatever the reason, it just was the wrong time and the wrong place to do it after you just got crushed by a team like that. So I don't know. I'm sure this week he'll be asked about it. I suspect he won't give an answer. But it's just it was the wrong time to do it. And not that I always – and I try to stay away from drawing conclusions to people and my and what body language and what's said and all this stuff, because I think sometimes it's way out of whack. Like I saw Kenny Pickett's thing yesterday. If you watch that whole play, he got hit – his arm got hit. He was trying to protect the football while trying to make a throwing motion. Everybody made it sound like he sacked himself. But if you look at that whole play, you know, you could be led to believe one thing when it really isn't the other. I don't know what the real reason with George Pickens why he did that. I just don't think it's the proper time to do it, of course.
No, I had no problem with what he did, but I had a problem with when he did it. You know, like it happens all the time when players after the game will meet at midfield and they'll meet, maybe there's a jersey exchange, maybe they just want to say what's up and so we'll see in the offseason or we'll see in a couple weeks, whatever it might be. But George Pickens knew what he was doing in that situation. What did you make of Kenny Pickett's performance? Because in the first half, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I just found out he was playing with broken ribs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, that tells you he was willing to get out there and do it and to take a couple of shots before and during the game. But, I mean, it was Kenny Pickett performance. Not a lot of yardage. I thought he did what he had to do. The one thing I'll say about him, and he may not be ever a franchise starting quarterback, but he will be a good and make a lot of money being a good backup quarterback. There are people who love to have him in that role. That could have been his role here too if he, you know, allowed it to play forward. I don't know what went on that made him think that he wanted to do more here after they brought in and made some changes. Just sometimes you just got to do your job. Don't worry about what happens and just outperform people. And I think in his role as a backup, he's going to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, I don't think he's an NFL quality starting quarterback that you can consistently rely on to win you games and especially playoff games. But Bob, appreciate your time. I know you got to get into the press conference and get rolling with Tomlin. Thanks for joining to start the show.
All right, Austin. Carry on, my wayward son. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. I'll do my best to steer the ship. The six-pack is brought to you by Bet365. We can get into a six-pack a little bit later on. We'll be joined by Brian Bacco. After Mike Tomlin speaks to the media at noon, you can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. It is 10:31. Now's the time to make that call to Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Up next, we'll get your thoughts. What do you think Mike Tomlin's going to say? Do you think Mike Tomlin will even address what Deshaun Elliott and others said in the locker room after the Steelers lost by just embarrassing fashion, 19 points to Kansas City at home on Christmas Day, 412-928-9370. We'll also get into what the current AFC playoff picture looks like, what a Steelers win would mean, what a Steelers loss would mean, and if the Steelers lose, what the situation would play out to be to potentially be the sixth seed. The Steelers cannot drop down to be the seven. And do you think that the division is realistically in play? As I was talking to Bob, the line moved even more significantly in Baltimore's favor. The line continues to shift to near historical marks by how much the Ravens are favored by the lowly 3-13 Browns. 412-928-9370. Sean has a headline, and we're back on the Pump and Joe Show. Austin Bechtold, your friend City Limits, in for the guys.
You know, it's fundamental things, man. We got to look at ourselves and own it. And obviously, we got to be committed to making whatever changes necessary in an effort to improve the outcome. And it's as simple as that.
Mike Tomlin willing to make whatever changes necessary to get out of this skid. Does that mean benching Cam Sutton and playing Beanie Bishop? That would be one of the first things that I would do. because it's pretty apparent with – I had Nick Faribault on last week and all the film breakdown that he did from Penn Live saying that Cam Sutton in so many different packages and defensive categories is just not being able to communicate well enough, is not covering well enough. And a lot of the times, fingers are being pointed at Cam Sutton, and Cam Sutton is walking away from plays, either missing tackles or not in the right position to make plays. So the situation's the clinch for the Steelers. They still have a chance at the AFC North, but it's probably of the slimmest of margins, Sean. Baltimore, and the line has just moved within the last half an hour, started the day as 18-point favorites against Cleveland. The Ravens are now 18.5-point favorites against the Browns. Cleveland, who is 3-13, but oddly enough, two of their wins are against the Steelers and the Ravens. And their other win is against, I think, a joke of a Jacksonville team this year that's completely fallen on its face. But Dorian Thompson-Robinson against Lamar Jackson, don't be kidding yourself. Baltimore is going to win the division. The Steelers had this perfectly in their grasp where if they would have beat the Ravens, they could have even just sat starters in this game because of what Houston's record is. And they could have either been facing Baltimore, but Baltimore would have probably been the number one wild card. They'd be preparing to play the Chargers in this game. If the Steelers do win the division, they will play against the Chargers. But they've completely lost control of their fate.
And the Browns are kind of incentivized to lose this game anyway, yeah. Right? I mean, so I don't know. I know that things changed a little bit yesterday with the Giants winning and I think what the Raiders won yesterday. So two teams that could have gotten the first overall pick. I'm not sure where Cleveland currently sits there, but there's no teams that have fewer losses than them. So they would really benefit from another loss here, potentially boosting their potential to get one of the top few picks. So it's pretty much set in stone. It would be one of the biggest upsets in recent memory. However, wasn't it, maybe 3 years ago that Houston won a game where they would have had the number one pick had they lost the final game of the season?
It's
so
happened.
Sometimes weird things do happen, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case here.
Talk about winning but losing in the end. The New York Giants. I mean, really? Giants? They win. They're now 3-13. And with their strength of schedule being what it is the highest of the three-win teams, they now would go to the fourth pick after having the number one overall pick. Drew Lock and the Giants, with their victory, basically maybe could have screwed up that franchise for the future, where New England now has the number one pick. Tennessee will pick two, so the Browns would pick third. If everything stays the same and it's chalk, no trades at the top of the draft order, Cleveland is going to draft their next quarterback. Because I think we all believe that it's Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward at the top of the draft. And if that's the case, New England is going to take Travis Hunter. If they make him a two-way
guy. Or they will
guy,
make a trade.
Well, that's the thing. If it stays the same, which I don't think it will, I think New England will probably trade off of the pick if everything stays the same as it is right now. Either they'll pick Travis Hunter or they'll trade off. Tennessee's going to take a quarterback. I mean, Will Levis, they've already benched him for Mason Rudolph. There's no answers there.
They'll get Malik Willis back maybe, huh?
Yeah. Went 2-0 with Green Bay. Cleveland's going to take probably Cam Ward or Sanders. It's probably going to be Ward, who I think is a little bit overrated and, again, is one of those older quarterbacks in college. Bo Nix has looked pretty good. Michael Penix has looked pretty good. Maybe Cleveland is just a year late and a dollar short.
This is actually going to turn out, I think, in the long run to be one of the better quarterback classes that we've seen in a long time. And obviously one of the guys, J.J. McCarthy, we haven't seen play at all. I don't even know if he's going to get a chance anytime soon. But, you know, all the other rookies, I think, have been pretty good, right? Now that we're seeing Penix play well, Drake May, even though it's been a really tough season for New England, has given them reason to believe that they have their quarterback.
There's no one around him in New England.
Yeah,
their roster is probably the worst in the NFL.
Obviously, Jaden Daniels continues to cement himself. He's basically replicated and maybe surpassed what Stroud did a couple years ago. And even though it's kind of spiraling out of control in Chicago, you've seen enough from Caleb Williams to at least say that this is probably going to be worst case, a slightly above average starting quarterback, and maybe even better than that in the long run.
Yeah.
So it's really great quarterback class, which probably means next year's will not be nearly as good. It's just, it would be almost unprecedented to have two really strong classes back to back for quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you think about that class a couple years ago with Herbert, Tua, and Burrow, and there wasn't, Jordan Love was in that class later on in the first round. We're starting to see where it's really good class, whole bunch of nothing, really good class, whole bunch of nothing. Because wasn't it, it was that class, And then not too long after was the Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis class.
Yeah, that was the wrong year for the Steelers to take a quarterback in that draft.
And then you get this past year's draft, which looks like there's at least four really good quarterbacks that are coming from it. I don't think McCarthy is going to be anything. They should stick with Sam Darnold.
I was thinking that's a fascinating decision that they will have, because I know you've mentioned Darnold as a guy you think the Steelers maybe should target.
I think that they should target Sam Darnold.
Any way that Minnesota just moves on from him, though. They have to find some way. That said, if you have a quarterback you just drafted and like very highly, could you bring Darnold back on a short term? I think he's probably going to require 4 years minimum. I don't think he would agree to it. 2-year deal to stay in Minnesota.
Probably. He's more than likely going to be maybe a 3-year deal worth around $40 million a year. But isn't that something where you're going to probably have to pay Russell Wilson about 35?
So I think Darnold should get at least that, because you go back to, albeit a terrible contract, Daniel Jones did a lot less and he got $40 million a year. What was that? Almost 5 years ago now. So, I mean, the standard is almost becoming into the 50 millions. I think there's enough reason for Darnold not to get $50 million, because he had only done it this season, really, and obviously he had a lot of years where he struggled or play much. But I think he clearly gets into the $40 million range, and again, I don't see him taking a 1 or 2 year deal. This is his chance. I think he's going to probably want four.
Well, let me ask you this then: what makes you think he's going to get more than the Baker Mayfield contract at 3 years and $100 million that Baker signed with Tampa Bay not long ago? Because Baker had more of a proven track record. He won a playoff game in Pittsburgh against the arch rival Steelers for Cleveland, and they shipped him out of town, went to Carolina. That didn't work. It didn't work with the Rams in the short stint that he had. I mean, he did prove himself a little bit so that he could get over to Tampa Bay and make that contract that he did after he was playing for the injured Matt Stafford. I love Sam Darnold. I would like to see how Sam Darnold would fit in this system. He's a much better fit with Minnesota. I don't think there's much doubt about that. But I think he has the traits to be a guy who could really work in Pittsburgh with a couple more weapons around him. But I don't think that he should command that much more than the Baker deal. I know that the money, just the way that it works, somebody's going to get more and more money depending on what year it is, and the more money that just continues to get added up, etc. But Baker proved more than Sam Darnold did in this 1 year.
I agree, and that's why I think if you ask just about anyone around the league, they would actually say that Baker deal is a bargain for the Buccaneers. It really, I think of the quarterbacks who signed for 50-plus million, man, it was a big risk for a lot of those guys, right? Had Trevor Lawrence shown enough to prove that he was a guy that deserved whatever he got, 52, 55 million? Jordan Love was basically going on 1 year of pretty good play. It's a lot of these teams are taking massive risks that if it backfires, pretty much torpedoes their chance for the next 3 or 4 years to have a successful run. We saw that happen with the Giants. They took a big gamble, hoping that Jones would replicate and maybe improve upon that one really good year. It didn't happen, but every team is so needy that I feel like someone, if not Minnesota, will pay 40-plus per year for Darnold on a long-term deal.
And the way that Kevin O'Connell was looking at Sam Darnold being raised up by his teammates at the end of the game that we saw post-game, I think it was the CBS shot, that just makes me think that he's not going anywhere. Plus the report that's come out in the last couple of days. Up until a couple of days ago, it was radio silence that Minnesota was not really in any contract talks with Darnold or considering bringing him back. But as of yesterday, they want to bring him back. So that might be something that's ruled out with the Steelers. But currently, they still have a shot at the AFC North. I don't think anybody thinks that it's going to actually happen that way. But the Steelers will know going into the game against Cincinnati if the division is still on the line. So if the Steelers beat, so let's say Baltimore wins. If the Steelers beat Cincinnati, they're the 5 seed, and they will go to Houston and play against the Texans. Now, if the Steelers lose and the Chargers win, the Chargers are the 5 seed, and the Steelers now will fall to the 6 seed, and they would play against the Ravens. So it begs the question that some people have asked on Twitter, and we can ask it at 412-928-9370, and it's already been asked on the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And as we hit the 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. You're going to know if the division is on the line, and you're not going to have a bye, regardless. If you're the Steelers, and you lose out on the division, and you go into the game against Cincinnati, do you rest some players? Just T.J. Watt, I don't think, is 100%. Would you sit T.J. Watt out? Would you sit Joey Porter Jr., who was banged up in the Baltimore game and did not play in the Chiefs game? I would not do that. I want to go all out to be able to play against Houston. I don't want to go back to Baltimore in the first round of the playoffs because I think the Steelers would be one and done in that situation. And I know that we talked so much about the history with the Steelers beating up on the Ravens. I don't feel good about going into that game the way the Steelers were dominated the last time that they were in Baltimore, about winning that compared to a Houston team that's on the downside this season and seems to be falling apart with C.J. Stroud in that offense with Bobby Slowick really finding a sophomore slump. I would play them regardless of what happens in that game.
By the way, the Chargers, in all likelihood, will win that game.
Yeah, they'll play what, the Raiders?
They play at the Raiders, and that's another team that, you know, is probably best suited to actually lose games at this point to benefit their draft outlook. So the Chargers probably win. The thing for the Steelers is you're not going to know for sure because the Steelers playing on Saturday, Chargers playing on Sunday. To your point, though, the second you, I don't want to say intentionally lose games, but the second you're hoping for a better path by having a lesser record is when it comes back to blow up in your face. So I don't think that I would say, you know, let's rest our guys and we like the matchup, you know, potentially against Baltimore. You try to win that game. Although if there are guys who are, you know, legitimately questionable that you're putting them at further risk of a, you know, exacerbating an injury, those are the guys you probably hold out or certainly try to limit. But other than that, I don't think you're resting guys just for the sake of, you know, saying this game doesn't really matter that much because we feel confident going against the Ravens.
Well, and here's the thing too, Sean, like they need to get right. They've lost the last three games by double digits. And at times in the second half, they weren't competitive against Philadelphia in the fourth quarter, mainly because Philadelphia was running it down their throat for the last 10 and a half. The pick six by Russell Wilson crushed them in the Baltimore game. And the second half against Kansas City was non-competitive to the point where the fans were leaving early. And Mike Tomlin was asked about it and said, well, I was paying attention to the game. I wasn't really looking around at the fans. The Fan Hotline is brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Let's hear from you. Let's start with Vincent in Columbus. What's going on, Vincent?
Hey, man. I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said in terms of playing everybody because you don't want to go into the playoffs on a four-game losing streak, especially with the quarterbacks you're playing. Like, imagine going into the playoffs knowing you got sliced up by Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, Hurts. Like, that's not a good omen to play C.J. Stroud. So I think that's a big reason getting right. And then you also don't want to give the Bengals life in the playoffs either. That's another thing people aren't talking about.
And I think, well, obviously, Vincent, they do need some help because Miami currently is ahead of them. So they need Miami to lose. And I'm surprised Miami beat Cleveland the way that they did. That just shows how bad Cleveland is. And now Cleveland has to go on the road against Baltimore. I give it a 1% chance that Baltimore loses.
You don't want to give it any chance is what I'm saying. Like, you want to end their season right then and there Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with that. Like, why not just stomp on the Bengals again for another game? But I am concerned with the Steelers secondary a little bit. And I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned. Like, is Joey Porter going to be ready? Communication. The fact that there are communication issues, Vincent, right now, week 17, week 18, That partly falls on coaching. It really does.
It does to me. I think they need to put Minka back just deep safety. As much as people were complaining about him not making plays, it's just better with him back there and then put Beanie Bishop back.
It's wild to me, and I appreciate the call. I would not want to sit anybody in this game if they can't play. And I know that's been a huge conversation over the last couple weeks. You want to make sure you're fully healthy going into the playoffs. Yes, but in the same token, you want to make sure that you have a little bit of positivity, a little bit of momentum going into the playoffs. You want to feel a little bit better that you can get the sour taste out of your mouth where there's arguing in the locker room. There are problems right now on the Steelers defense. To me, we can beg the question, are there more issues on the Steelers defense than there are on the Steelers offense? And we know the problems with the offensive line right now. We know the issues about not having a number two wide receiver, and Mike Williams has basically been invisible outside of a couple of catches in the one play that he made against Washington. I would argue that the Steelers' defense right now is in a worse spot than the offense is because of communication issues that should not be a thing right now. They're playing the wrong guy in Cam Sutton, and who was suspended for the first eight games, who Mike Tomlin just gave the keys to. Here you go, Cam. You're familiar with our defensive system. We know what you're capable of. Well, he didn't play very well. They won't put him at outside corner where James Pierre and Corey Trice have played at outside corner. I like Trice. Don't think James Pierre.